We are continuing our series called Missing, Understanding the Holy Spirit. Last week we started this series and we wanted to understand why when we read scripture, we see the Holy Spirit do such amazing and incredible things. And then we get to our church and maybe we don't see God moving quite as actively or quite as powerfully. And we can't help but ask the question, why? What has changed? What's going on? And I started last week by saying that maybe part of it is we just don't understand the Holy Spirit. Who he is, what his role is in our life or the life of the church. And as we approach Pentecost, it is so important that we understand the Holy Spirit and how he is such a major player of not only our lives, but this event that is coming up next week. And I hope you're preparing your hearts for it. And so last week we looked at who is the Holy Spirit. We talked about how he is a person, and yet he is 100% God, and that he is someone that we can pray to, somebody that we can trust and put our faith in, just as much as we can put our faith and our trust in God the Father and God the Son. And so this morning we're going to dive into what does the Holy Spirit do? What is his role in the Trinity? What is his role in our lives and the life of the church? And how does he play into this? And to kick it off, we're going to go back to John. Because I like how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit a title that I hope is helpful for us in understanding. But my hope is that it helps us unpack how he is helping in our life. And so we go to John, and this is what we read. John 16:7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." The counselor. In John 14:16-17, it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you." The counselor. Now, it's really significant that Jesus says the Father is going to send another counselor. Because what we don't see in our English, but in the Greek, Jesus is making the Holy Spirit's role as counselor in our life equal to Jesus' own role as counselor, because he calls himself counselor as well. And so the Holy Spirit comes in, and this is Jesus is saying, he is just as much God as I am. He is just as powerful. He is just as important in your life as I am. And so the counselor comes. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will be in you. And that's something that we're going to dive into a lot this morning. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be in you? What does that mean for us and our life? But the big thing I want us to bear down on is that the Holy Spirit is the counselor. And maybe as you read in your Bible, counselor isn't the word that pops up. Maybe you read advocate, or maybe you read helper. And all these words come from the same Greek, parakletos. And parakletos is actually a legal term. So it actually referred to a lawyer. And that helps, because a lawyer helps us in our time of need. A lawyer advocates for us to the judge when we are trying to represent our case. He can do it better. That's why he is our advocate. And he is a lawyer is referred to as counselor in the court of law. And so the Holy Spirit is our counselor. He is our advocate to the Father. And he is our helper in time of need. And I hope that helps. I had a few people ask me after last week, if the Holy Spirit is a person that we can pray to, what do we pray to each person of the Trinity? What do I pray to the Father? What do I pray to the Son? What do I pray to the Holy Spirit? I think we have a firm grasp of the Father, Son, but what about the Holy Spirit? Well, if we know that he is our counselor and our helper, that helps us in understanding how we relate to him and the kinds of things that we pray to the Holy Spirit about. But he is our counselor, he is our helper. And so we're going to unpack what does that mean. And first and foremost, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, comforts and reassures. We read this, Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Now it is God who strengthens us together with you in Christ and who has anointed us. He has also put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our own hearts as a down payment. In Ephesians 1:13-14, in him you also were sealed with the promise, Holy Spirit, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of your inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit reminds us. See, we don't need to be reminded that we're a child of God when everything's going good, when everything is moving the way it needs to. But then there are times of trial, our times of struggle. That's when we need the reminder. That's when we need the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and say, you're a child of God. And in fact, Paul goes on to say that the Holy Spirit living in your heart and your mind, he is a down payment of the good things to come. He is the seal of your salvation. And the seal, if you know anything about seals, we're not talking about the, we're talking about the stamp that the ancient kings and queens would put on letters. It was the seal, and it was unbreakable until the letter got to where it needed to go. Well, the Holy Spirit is the unbreakable seal on your life. He is the guarantee that when you get into eternity and when you pass from this world into the next, his dwelling in you, he is the seal of your salvation. And often when we talk about this, one of the things that gets pushed back is, well, what if I don't see the Holy Spirit at work in my life? Am I not saved? In all honesty, that's between you and God. I can't say that for sure, but God knows. And so if you feel that stirring, that, man, I haven't really seen the Holy Spirit at work, I don't, or maybe you don't experience that reassurance, this is a great time to come to God and be like, God, I really need that reassurance. I really need to see how the Spirit is at work in my life. Because if he is the seal of my salvation, then I probably should see him working. I should probably hear him speaking and leading me in the things that you're calling me to. And if I don't, then maybe there's a conversation that we need to have with God to get some things cleared up. The Holy Spirit reassures and comforts us, especially in our time of need, especially in these times where we're kind of like, am I saved? Is the Holy Spirit really at work? When we humble ourselves and we come to him and just say, God, I really need to hear from you. I really need some affirmation. It is the Holy Spirit who comes alongside us and says, yes, you're good. Your salvation is secure. Now watch me work in your life. Watch me do what I do. And this wording, down payment of your inheritance, we know that one of the things Jesus said is, I go and I prepare a place for you. And so there's an inheritance waiting for those who have declared Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are good things waiting. And the Holy Spirit is the down payment. It is the beginning of the good things to come. He is the beginning of good things to come. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the down payment of our inheritance, the seal of our salvation. He comes along and he testifies, you are a child of God. He is the assurer. He reassures us and he comforts us. Number two, the counselor strengthens and equips. And this is what the scripture says. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. Acts 4:31, when they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Acts 9:31, so the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groaning. The Spirit, that word interceding, is the same as advocate. It's still that lawyerly, he goes to the Father on our behalf and he pleads our case to the God the Father. But he strengthens us. There's a bigger story going on, obviously. In Acts 4, what has happened is Peter and John have been brought before the Sanhedrin and questioned about this gospel. And the Sanhedrin are trying to scare them into stopping. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop preaching the gospel about this Messiah that you were so excited about. And they can't convince him to stop. And so they give him a beating. And John and Peter leave, and they're excited because they were beaten for the name of Jesus. And they go and they gather with the rest of the disciples. And in this time where they should have been discouraged, they prayed, the place was shaken, and the Holy Spirit actually increased their boldness, increased their ability to speak God's word, and increased the number of people that were being saved through their witness and through their boldness. In Acts 31, we see the story of Stephen. Stephen was a leader in the church, again, brought before the Sanhedrin, and he's testifying about what God's word says about Jesus and how the religious leaders needed to clean up their acts. And the Sanhedrin, in their rage, rush him out of the building and actually have him killed. And we read that as Stephen is dying, a man by the name of Saul is sitting there watching. And afterwards, he begins to persecute the church of the New Testament. Now, at this point, the church was kind of huddled up in Jerusalem. Got what Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem. I'll give you the counselor, and then you will go. Well, the persecution happens, and they scatter. And yet, in this time of confusion, in this time of scattering and spreading out, the Holy Spirit still comes and strengthens. And the Romans passage is really the stamp of that brings it all together. He is our strength in our weakness. And I wonder how many times in our life that we don't see the Holy Spirit working. Maybe it's because we are either not struggling and we're not in that place of struggle where we need him, or we don't recognize our need for him. See, in each of these stories, the disciples knew that they needed the Holy Spirit to come and to strengthen and encourage them. And I wonder how many times a struggle comes and we feel weak and we feel down, and so we just power through ourselves instead of coming to the Holy Spirit and saying, I am at my wit's end. I am tired. God, I need your help. God, you are so much stronger than me, and I feel so weak. Come and help me in this time. Paul has said that he uses the weak to shame the strong. I think sometimes we come into our faith and we believe that we just need to be strong. We just need to be mighty, and we can't ever have a time of weakness, because weakness is a slam against God. But no, in fact, weakness is a place of growth. Weakness and challenge is an opportunity for faith to be built up. It is an opportunity for Holy Spirit to come into our life and display his love, display his ability, and display who he is for us and for our family. Paul says, when I am weak, I'm actually strong. Because it is when my weakness that the Holy Spirit shows up and does what only the Holy Spirit can do. He strengthens us. He picks us up out of our place of weakness. The Holy Spirit teaches believers. John 14:26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." And then John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come." So Jesus says, the Counselor will come and he is going to teach you things. But the first one I think is so important. It says that he's going to come and he's going to remind you of my teachings. Now Jesus, now you got to consider context. Jesus is talking to guys that have spent their last 3 years, every day, every waking moment, for the last 3 years, hanging out with Jesus, hearing him teach, hearing the things that he is saying and doing and just taking it all in. And so when he says the Holy Spirit will remind you, it's still fairly fresh in their minds, but they have the experience to be reminded of. And the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of the teaching, but I find that so often we're not in God's word enough to be reminded. You can't be reminded of something that you didn't know. Let me say that again. You can't be reminded of something you didn't know. So if you're not reading God's word and you're not spending time in God's presence, because not only does God speak through the written word, he has fresh word for you today. But you can't be reminded of something you didn't know. So if you're not reading, you can't be reminded of something you haven't read. If you're not praying and spending time in God's presence, you can't be reminded of something that God didn't say to you in that quiet time. The Holy Spirit teaches us by reminding us of the things that Jesus has taught us already. But if we are not being taught, then we can't be reminded. And on top of being reminded of the things that Jesus has taught us, we know the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we read his word, and the word of God is spiritual. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand the spiritual word that God has placed into our hands, either in the book form or online. And so the Holy Spirit comes, and as we read his word, he makes it come alive in a way that maybe we're not ready for, and he reveals things that maybe we missed. I've read through the scriptures so many times, and yet every time I hit a story that I've read 10, 20, 30 times, or I hit a passage that has always struck me, I'm always amazed at how it strikes me in a different way. A new detail of the story will pop up, or a connection to another. And that is the Holy Spirit at work teaching me how connected the scripture is, but how connected our life needs to be to the teaching. He is our teacher. He is our reminder. But part of being reminded is actually getting into the word and knowing it so that we can be reminded of it. The Holy Spirit testifies and helps us testify. John 15:26-27, "When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning." Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to testify about God, about Jesus' love and Jesus' power. And not only is he going to be the one that testifies to the hearts of people, but he is going to help us testify. Jesus says in Luke that we are not to be worried about what we are to say, because the Spirit of truth will come and give us the words to say. The Holy Spirit helps us in our testimony. The Bible says that it is through our testimony that people are saved, that lives are changed. We are to be a testifying people. And just as someone who gives testimony in court, the scripture is full of this law court feel. We testify about what we have seen. We testify about what God is doing in our life and what he has done in our life. We are to be people of testimony. Because we can come into a situation where people are struggling and where we know people need the love of God, and we can throw scripture at them and we can tell them all the things we need to do. But there's nothing more powerful than when we come into a situation and somebody's going through something that is so overwhelming, so hard for them, and we've been through it. And so we come and we're like, I know this is tough, but this is how God helped me through it. And I know this is how God's going to help you through it. Testimony, experience of God and Holy Spirit at work in us. And as we have those experiences and as we live our lives empowered by the Holy Spirit, we will have more and more testimony. We'll have more and more things to testify about. And the Holy Spirit will help us in those times. He will testify about Jesus, and he will help you also testify about Jesus. And the fifth one that the Holy Spirit does, and I believe this is probably the most important one, the Holy Spirit convicts. In fact, I would say, take it a step further, the Holy Spirit convicts the world. John 16:8-11, when he comes, he talks about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now, I want to take a moment. I think I've talked about this before, but I just want to unpack it again. There's a big difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is when we make a mistake and we feel guilty about it and we beat ourselves up saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Why do I keep falling into this trap? Why do I keep... Condemnation comes with shame, comes with guilt, and it so often drives us away from God. Conviction, on the other hand, is this... Conviction is the enlightening of how much God loves us. And instead of feeling shame about what we've done, it's an admission that we've done something wrong, but we come to the Father and we ask him to fill that need, to forgive that thing that has happened. Conviction draws us into God's presence. Conviction draws us to the Holy Spirit. And it's through conviction that things are made right, that we actually get empowered to continue on. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And this is where I want to park on this just a little bit. I don't have much time, but when we go to church and the pastor stands up and says, I want to encourage you to invite somebody to church, or, you know, we just finished talking about how you are to testify, you are to about your testimony, about what God has been doing in your life, we so often take it upon ourselves that in the inviting and in the testimony that we are somehow responsible for the response of the person that we are talking to or that we are inviting. And that is not our role. When we read that the Holy Spirit convicts the world, what Jesus is saying is that we do our part. We plant the seeds, we tell the stories, we invite to church. We step into our role as the advocates for God, and the Holy Spirit takes it from there. Paul talks about in the Corinthians, there's an issue between him and another guy that had come to the Corinthians and encouraged them and led many of them to faith. And he says, Paul plants, Apollos waters, but it is God who makes the seed grow. We invite, we tell the stories, we share our experiences, and we talk about how God is working and moving and molding us. But it is the Spirit who comes in and causes that seed to grow into curiosity, causes that seed to grow into more questions, or even grow into a drawing to the church to see if God really is all that he... The Holy Spirit is the one who is responsible for the response. It is not us. Because I think that is the one thing that holds us back from testifying and sharing and inviting, because we just don't know if people are going to accept the invitation. We just don't want to be rejected. But the reality is that as you are faithful in your going, faithful in your sharing, it is God who is faithful in bringing them back. Because it is not a rejection of you when people say no. It is a rejection of the Holy Spirit's conviction in their life. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He is the one who strengthens us in our time of need. He is the one who testifies about the goodness of God. He is the seal of our salvation. He is the convictor of the world on sin, righteousness, and judgment. He is the one who empowers us and strengthens us to do what God has called us to do. And whether that's through just strengthening and encouraging, or it's through spiritual gifts, which we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, the Spirit is active in our world, and we just need to be a people who walk in step with what He is doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have a plan for us, that you have plotted out each and every one of our days before we lived even one. Jesus, I thank you that you died for us so that we can come into relationship with you and with the Father, that we can have our eternal lives secured, that we have an inheritance waiting for us in your presence and in your glory. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the seal of our salvation. You are the down payment of the good things to come. You are the one who strengthens us when we're weak. You are the one who empowers us to go and do what we need to do. And God, you are the convictor. Holy Spirit, you are the one who draws us back to the Father. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you are convicting, you are drawing us back, and you are making things right in every one of our lives. God, we love you, give you all our praise and thanks in your precious name. Amen.